We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Recording this right after the Warriors 126-121 loss to the Denver Nuggets. No sweep, but Joey Lightyears is going to get himself another game of Chase Center revenue. I know he's not all disappointed. Man, what a frustrating game.
48 minutes of frustration, right?
For the most part, I thought they started out, they were playing with their food. Can't really put the early part on the coaching staff or anything. I think they just weren't playing smart, dumb fouls, lack of focus on offense. And then they get back into the game. And do you want to just start there? Let's talk about the final maybe 8 minutes or so, that like fourth quarter stretch.
Yeah. This I'm just going to call it death lineup because whatever, it's what it's called. This death lineup, I think they're going to play this a lot this postseason. And this whole game, it wasn't just the death lineup. The defense is a problem, Sam. That's really the theme of this game to me. This team has a ton of scoring. They have more scoring potential than the first two teams that made the NBA Finals and won one of them. But defense is a real issue. And it's not really one person. It's the whole unit, and really it's the whole team. And the frustration comes where you just constantly leave guys wide open. And I get Jokic is amazing, but you're not going to be able to win consistent, huge playoff games if you play defense like this. I think that was the main takeaway.
Yeah, the first three games, they were just nuclear offensively. Like, we all saw the shooting numbers. Steph, Poole, Clay shot out of their minds. Tonight, they didn't even shoot that poorly. They were just more like normal. Like, everyone wasn't shooting 60%. And you get one of these games where they couldn't get stops. And I'm pulling up the numbers right now. Steph was 10 for 23. Also got 10 free throws. Clay, 12 for 20. Poole was pretty bad all around, 3 for 10. Anyway you slice it, that's a combined 25 for 60, 76 points. Like, that's not a bad offense between the three of them. It's just not nuclear. Like, the first three games, they were like 85 points on 40 shots between the three. And, like, that's not sustainable. What they did tonight is a little more realistic, and that's where the defense really shows up. You're right.
Yeah. The offense, like, Poole's going to have a bad – like, that's just going to happen. Steph finally looked a little rusty, and I don't know why he missed. Like, the thing is, like, their offense was still good enough to win the game easily. Their offense
You put up 121, you should get a win.
Yeah, it's they should have won the game by 10. But the fact is that the Nuggets didn't miss a three the entire second half. And, yes, like, Monty Morris, Will Barton, like, you kind of want some of these guys. Aaron Gordon makes a three. Like, you want some of these guys shooting threes, but – they're wide open. And I think this was a theme the regular season too. We saw the Warriors. They're one of the worst teams guarding the open corner three. They're one of the worst in the NBA, and it showed tonight. And Jokic is a genius. Like that last play, let's just talk about that last play where Poole is helping and then Steph overhelps and leaves Will Barton in the corner for three. And you're just like, if Jokic is going to make that 8-foot like stepping sideways floater, sure. But they kind of threw two guys at him, and then you have Steph helping in no man's land for no reason. You give up an open corner three, and that's the game, right? And I think we saw too much of that today. I think there are a lot of other frustrating stuff we'll get to, like that play call at the end. But the defense was abysmal, just absolutely abysmal. You cannot win playoff games like that.
And I think this is where not being focused for the beginning part of the game really comes back to bite them. If this was the 2015 team, they have the ability to absolutely put the clamps on for the final 5 minutes. They take that game home. They take that game home because they have three, you know, first team all NBA caliber defenders, Iguodala, Draymond. Yep. Klay at that time was absolutely playing defense at an all NBA level. Maybe not so much right now.
Warriors have 1.5 right now. They have Draymond and they have like Wiggins, who's pretty good. Like Klay's okay, but yeah, like you're saying, like they have 1.5. Right.
And so that's where it's like you can't get into these games where it's close down the stretch because you can't rely on your defense to get stops, particularly when Draymond fouls out. Yeah. I think he got a rough one on that sixth one. But the point stands, they picked up – I'm somewhere in between the refs kind of were not too good in the first half.
That's
like
weird.
Overcalling it, and also the Warriors were picking up some ticky-tack fouls for no particular reason. When you don't have all-world defensive talent, which they don't, Draymond's an all-world defender, but like Poole's not, Steph isn't, Klay isn't anymore. You have to be focused for larger stretches of the game. You can't just be like, all right, we're about to make your life hell and you're not going to score for the next 5 minutes.
That's one of those things where this team, it's a little different than what we've seen. That's why that death lineup is a little different. Like you're saying, although, you know, if Draymond's in the game, they win that game with 2 minutes left, but there's a reason why he has five fouls, right? This team, they only have him as that backline defender. And that's about it. that's about it. That's why he has five fouls. And that's why when he reaches there, he gets a sixth and it's over. So the defense is tough, but I think like, just overall for the series, it's not concerning. It's just this series is over. Like it took the Nuggets to shoot the way the Nuggets shot, like they were the Splash Brothers out there tonight, in order for them to win this game. So series wise, what, like this is an easy 15-point win on Wednesday night. It's just frustrating because you see some signs. I think, Sam, you see some signs when the Warriors play, you know, Minnesota in round two or Dallas, Phoenix in round three. Like you see some signs where it's like, yeah, defending might be tough at the end, and we're not used to that. As Warriors fans, you're used to with 5 minutes left, the Warriors are just going to go, you know, 14-4 and close you out, right? Right now, for them to win with 5 minutes left, they probably got to go like 18-15 the last 5 minutes of the game to close you out. Like that's where the Warriors are at with this lineup.
Yeah. And just to piggyback on the fouls, I mean, Klay getting four in the first half. Klay was the hottest shooter on the floor tonight. I mean, he was hitting basically everything, and he only played 31 minutes. Why did he only play 31 minutes? Because he sat basically the whole second quarter because he had three fouls early.
Yep.
And then the fourth one was just like,
you just can't get it. It was a bad call, but you just can't get that foul. Like, it's very simple.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a focus thing. It's attention to detail. Maybe we should have seen it coming with the ease at which they won the first three games. I'll give Denver credit. They at least have some pride. A lot of teams, I could imagine, just be like, well, 3-0, let's just mail it in, you know, 1-2-3.
Ben Simmons already did, you know, so.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, they seemed very motivated. It's like, we're not getting swept, you know, and I expect the Warriors to come out way more focused in the next game, but looking bigger picture, yeah, this team cannot have – this team cannot come out with a kind of lackadaisical attitude because they're – I don't want to say they're not good enough, but they're definitely not that team defensively where they can kind of – they can go through the motions and then just turn it up on that end.
Yep, yep. There's one thing I want to mention too, just at the end of the game, Steve Kerr's out-of-bounds play. You know, we talked about this at the end of the season. There's been a few times where you're kind of like, well, the Warriors lose this game and it's not that big a deal. Because they don't go to Steph at the end, you would think that they will. And I think it's kind of showing in this particular moment where it's Steve Kerr. Like, Steph struggled all game, and then he took over in the fourth quarter. Just give him the ball. Like, it's not – like, what are we doing here? And I understand it's just one play, but that's the most important play of the game. And he just decides to go with an off-ball threat and throws it to Wiggins. Wiggins gets the ball and gets fouled. Way too cute. He gets the ball, he gets fouled, and what? He makes one free throw. Like, what are we doing here? It's just – it's one of the worst calls. I tweeted this. One of the worst calls I've ever seen. There is absolutely no reason to make that call. It's absolutely pathetic. It's not hard to say that you shouldn't make that call, right, Sam? There's no reason to argue for that call. And he still went with it. And it's not why the Warriors lost, but it's not acceptable.
Particularly since Steph was just skewering Jokic and ISO. Like, from about the five-minute mark on, the Warriors stopped running their offense as much as they normally do and just were like, let's get Jokic on a switch. Let's get Jokic on a switch and let's get Steph a layup. And half the time, Steph got an and one out of those situations. So it's just kind of like, I mean, Jokic has no chance if he switched on to really any of the Warriors' three guards. If the play ended up with Clay on a switch, I'd be happy. If it ended up with Poole on a switch, I'd also be happy. He was having – Poole had a rough game tonight, but, like, end of the day, I don't care how bad his game's going. If he gets Jokic in a one-on-one that far out, I'll take my chances. It's a good look. It's going to generate good offense. Let's talk a couple other things. So Kuminga made a cameo in the second quarter. Looked like a teenager. He also had some amazing athletic plays. Like, it was some good and some bad, in my opinion. I would have liked to see them go back to him down the stretch. I get why Steve didn't, but he does add a different dimension. And I would have liked to see him.
In the second half, you're saying?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you. Bielitsa got benched, as he should have. He was terrible. Andre Iguodala was terrible tonight. My guy Andre was terrible all game tonight. And actually thought Steve did a pretty good game with the substitutions, and Steve even went with a zone late, which I thought was pretty cool. And I thought it worked for a couple possessions. So he trusts his vets, right? But Andre kind of had no chance against Cousins. He's playing the five. I'm with you, though. Kuminga came in. He looked scared, but, you know, who wouldn't? And then he was fine. He was fine. He was like normal Kuminga getting to the hole.
And not even just scared. It's like 19-year-old kind of wing trying to guard Jokic. Like, dude, come on, man. You know,
dude, the first possession he came down, Steph was pointing at, like, the guy that he was guarding. He, like, didn't know he was guarding who he was guarding the first position. But, you know, after that, he was fine. I'm with you, though. I wish I would have seen him in the second half. You think he's going to play game five?
I think potentially he'll get in there. It is interesting they did not use Bielitsa beyond that, like, 4-minute stretch at the beginning of the second quarter. Like, he was terrible. I get why they didn't go back to him. And Looney really didn't play a lot either. So there's minutes to be had in the front court. Otto also was not particularly good today, but he's going to give Otto more chances. In general, searching for anyone in the front court other than Draymond and Wiggins, I actually thought Wiggins was really good today. In some ways, he might have been their most consistent guy outside of Draymond. I thought he had that putback. I was ready to jump out of my seat when he jumped to get that tip dunk, but just couldn't get it to go.
I missed it.
But other than that, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't have too much experience getting my head above the rim. That's true. So I would have missed it, Sam.
I would have made it.
I'm not going to speak on that, but, like, in general, I've been also impressed with his defense, kind of defending the rim. Better than I would have expected from him. He's not like a natural interior defender, but he's using his athleticism and length at least to make some plays there. He did some good stuff that way. And in general, he's doing what the Warriors need him to do in this lineup, which is, you know, slash and use your athleticism as that four man.
He cut to the rim a lot tonight. I think that was the coaching staff telling him last game, like, hey, because last game he didn't move, right? He made a couple big plays at the end, but he didn't move. And this was the game where it was like, you have 10 easy points just literally cutting to the rim when they double Steph and Draymond has the ball. That's what happened this game. So, good for Wiggins. We should talk about him a little more. He was the guy. He's the guy that I think one-on-one in that small ball lineup, like, he's the guy that they cannot go up against. Poole was food today. Clay, he was awesome, but he was food on defense too. And Steph is actually good defensively on ball, but he's not good off ball. So that was the problem today with them.
He overhelps every time.
So it's like Wiggins is the guy where it's like, yeah, if he's guarding Aaron Gordon or Monte Morris or Will Barton, you know that's going to be a stop. So, like, that's their lockdown wing guy. They need him out there. Yeah, so good game for Wiggs.
The Warriors were plus 18 when Draymond was on the floor, which pretty much matches the eye test. I mean, a lot of this comes down to Draymond's foul issues, and a lot of Draymond's foul issues come down to poor defensive rotations and him just like kind of being stuck in no man's land and kind of not really having a choice. Some of it was on Draymond. Early on, the focus wasn't perfect. Like, in general, this all goes back to came out playing with your food, thinking you're going to get an easy sweep. And can't do that in the playoffs against anyone, even against like a not a very good Denver team. Like, there's no other way to paint it.
But you know, Jokic is, I love Jokic. He's special, man. I know a lot of people are gonna, it's gonna be a lot of like, Jokic won MVP again and he couldn't even make it out of the first round. It's like, yeah, the Warriors are pretty good. At the same time, it's like they won this game and they were in the game last game because of Jokic. They cannot stop Jokic. No team, to me, Sam, he's the best big in the NBA by far. It's just by like regardless
offensively,
just everything. I mean, like everything. He's the best.
We're not counting Giannis as a big.
No. Like when I say I'm talking like compared to Embiid and Kat. And
oh,
those
like
guys,
the traditional like, fives. Okay.
Of course, Giannis is the best. but it's like compared to those guys, it's like it's to me. I think he's special. He makes the right decision every single time, and he just floaters and all of that. So just I'm glad he got a win. Right, like. Denver's, they're done. They're going to lose game five, but it's kind of nasty when you're an MVP, you get swept. So good for Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets.
Yeah, we can talk about kind of where does Steve go? I guess the bigger thing is, okay, is Draymond really just going to have to play 40 minutes a game and stay out of foul trouble? Like, is that really where the Warriors are at going forward? Because, like, all things considered, it's just there's just not a lot of backup options. Like, Bielitsa was bad. He threw Kuminga out there. Kuminga was a rookie. His athleticism was nice. But it's like you can't play Kuminga heavy minutes. Otto, you know.
Yeah. That's – I mean, shit. There is no Jokic left in the Western Conference. Right? Because, like, I think the way that Jokic is offensively, the Warriors almost have no choice but to go with Draymond at the five.
No,
but
now you're
in foul trouble.
But now you're going to be dealing with, like, most of the teams they're going to have to be dealing with going forward are going to have guards who are going to put you in a ton of pick and rolls, whether it's Memphis, whether it's Phoenix, whether it's Dallas, even Minnesota, you know, even Minnesota.
Well, they got Cats, so it's kind of the same issue.
Yeah.
Jokic.
Yeah, but I kind of, well, we'll talk about that on a later show. But what I was going to say is, like, it's now you're getting into more of kind of the traditional like pick and roll guard trying to put Draymond put pressure on the Warriors that way instead of Jokic, who does it differently. Any way you slice it, like, it's just in some ways they need, you know, there's more pressure on Draymond than anyone on this team because of the lack of depth up front.
Yeah, but to be fair too, it's even if they had gotten a big like I don't think anything helps against some of these teams. Especially when it matters, but you're right. I mean, he might just have to, the issue is like he might have to play 40 minutes instead of like 29 or like 31 minutes, right? As the big, so that's why they could have used the week off. It would have been nice if they had won this game and they wouldn't have to play either of the Memphis Minnesota teams till at least what next Sunday, right? So now they're gonna have to gear up. At least they get 2 days off till Wednesday, but they still get 3-4 days off until game one of if they win on Wednesday.
Well,
two
things to keep in mind. If Minnesota and Memphis go seven, which I kind of think it will.
I do too.
They won't play game one before Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
Because that series, and I'm going to double check this and watch. I have my dates wrong. Because
game seven's on like Monday or something, or Sunday, something crazy.
It would
like
either
that.
Be on Saturday or Sunday.
Game seven.
They would. No, game seven is on Sunday. So if Memphis takes care, if Memphis or Minnesota win the next two, they close on Friday, and there's a good chance the NBA will just put game one on Sunday because they're not going to give away the chance to have like Steph Curry and the Warriors play the marquee time on Sunday. But if that series goes seven, they don't have a choice. They're going to have to kick game one to Tuesday. So the Warriors could still end up getting 6 days off if they finish, they take care of business on Wednesday. So if rest is something you're concerned about, you know, they still have a decent chance, but they're – they're playing an extra game here when they didn't really have to. And when, if they had focused a little harder at the beginning, they could have avoided it.
Yeah. That's how it goes. But also at the same time, to me, it's like this Denver team, it's a good team. They got the MVP. It's just, it's how it goes. And I think the Warriors, they don't have the same type of defense they did in the championship years, right? They're going to have to win it. They're going to win games, I think, differently. They're just going to have to win games differently. It's just going to be a lot of Steph, Clay, and Poole. You guys got to each go get 25 plus. That's how it's going to go. And they just got to go shot for shot. The Nuggets went shot for shot with the Warriors today and won. I guess just some games are just going to be like that. And the other three games, the Nuggets didn't have it. I think one more thing before we get to the Goons for me, it's like it was pretty cool to see Klay Thompson do what he's doing. He only played 31 minutes. It felt like he played 40 minutes, but I guess
he just didn't play the second quarter.
Yeah, because he didn't play the entire second, which was kind of when the Warriors went down by 17, right? So it was cool seeing him come back and do his thing. It feels like he's the guy. Teams always double off. I mean, they always double Steph and they always leave him open. I think it's hilarious. I think he just always getting wide open shots because teams are doubling Steph. If I were a defensive, I would just be like, why leave that guy open? He's not going to miss the shot. Like I just don't understand
not,
it.
He's not going to not take the shot. That's the other thing. Klay has no problem getting 30 shots up if you leave him up. Like he's going to do it. I agree with you. Let me give a shout out there too. First 30 point game since he's come back in the playoffs. First series. All in all, like we talked about how his defense hasn't been to what we remember, but offensively he doesn't look limited in any capacity. He looks exactly like the game we saw. Exactly the guy we saw in the playoffs in 2019, right before the injuries. That's crazy. Pretty cool. Yeah, it's you know, and his defense hopefully will continue to get better. I think it's probably one of those things where maybe next year he starts looking better on that end. But I mean, man, he's still built for these moments. He's still competitive as hell. He can shoot it as well as anyone in the NBA. And they would have got blown out if he didn't start catching fire in the third quarter. Like they were at that point in the third quarter, both Steph and Poole were struggling with their offense and it was all Klay keeping them in the game.
Yep. I mean, that's the beauty of having those three guys, man. Like I assure you, like Jordan Poole is going to have a great game on Wednesday. It's just, they get three guys and two of them are always going to be great. Right. It's just, that's what's going to keep the Warriors afloat this entire postseason. It's just, they got three dudes that can just drop 30 every game.
And to the Jordan Poole thing, first three games, he was shooting 67% from the field, 59% from three.
Sheesh.
Averaging almost 30. You know, one of these games was always bound to happen. All I'm saying, unless you're ready to say he's the greatest player in NBA history, he was probably due for a game where he shot the ball a little worse.
Yeah. Comeback's on the way. You got to get healthy, it seems like, with Jordan Poole. He's holding his arm, holding his back, holding – I don't know what his deal is. It always seems like he's fine, but – geez, man.
It's been a minute since we've seen a young scorer on the Warriors where, like – because he's 22. He's not, like, worried about, like, falls he's taking. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Steph and Klay, they're like, I'm going to try to avoid taking these hard falls.
Oh, my God. Steph fell down a few – he fell down a few times at the end, and I was just like, 34? I don't know. Four missed free throws too from Steph today. It was one of those where I guess the Warriors win if he makes those, right? So it's like that's how slim the margin was. I think like the Warriors have issues, I think, that are sustainable, that are gonna be an issue moving forward. But hey man, Steph makes the free throws today. I think the Warriors sweep, right? So it's one of those games.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, to the goons.
To the goons.
Dylan, what's up, man?
Not much, guys. I'm a little frustrated. I see Zach Zarba's trying to take over for Scott Foster. He's, you know, doing that audition for Silver, saying, "Hey, I can be your man when Scott finally retires." yeah, I think my main issue, like you guys were saying, is I really wanted to see a little bit more Kuminga. He did mess up a little bit on defense, but when he was out there with Draymond, I thought it was a really good pairing. So I'm not sure how to work the rotation to get that to happen, if we just need to change the starting thing, but I feel like we could get 6, 7, 8 minutes of that a game. It would really be a huge positive for us on D. So just want to know what you guys think of that. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that kind of the Warriors' issue? Everyone's okay when they're playing next to Draymond on defense, but we're trying to find lineup combinations that work when Draymond's not in there. You know what I mean? Like in the front court, like Otto's played well next to Draymond, not so much in the final 2 minutes. Well, Draymond wasn't on the final 2 minutes. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone plays well when they're next to Draymond in the front court. So
I think I wouldn't have minded Looney playing the minutes that Cousins is playing. Like, I know that he trusts Andre, and I kind of was like, well, if Looney's not playing the rest of the game, which he's not because Draymond's going to come in, why not just put Looney at the five? I think part of it's like they want a good passer, right? They kind of five out a little bit and have a guy that can find Clay open and those guys. But, you know, defensively, you might just want to go with Looney out there and just it's going to be a little bit easier on Cousins because Cousins he's pretty cooked. And they were doubling him essentially. That's just not, you've got to win those minutes that Jokic isn't playing. So I wouldn't have minded that as the backup big essentially. There's one way.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, let's move forward. Eduardo.
Hey, glad to finally make it. Last time I muted myself and that didn't work out, but
that's okay.
Just wanted to share a quick conspiracy about this game to make me feel better about missing the sweep. So I'm thinking game 5 at Chase, extra revenue to go towards Jordan Poole's extension, right? Big brain move.
I mean, look, man, Joe Lacob does let us know how expensive it was to build Chase and to keep this team together in the luxury tax. And they had no fans during COVID for a year and a half there. I don't know. Should we get the conspiracy theory music?
Yeah. Well, my buddy just texted me and said, he just hit me after the game. He's a big Jordan Poole guy. And was just like, well, hey, Joe Lacob said, if I'm going to have to pay Jordan Poole the max, it ain't coming easy. And I need to make $30 million some way. Give me Wednesday night.
Oh, God. We got a Steve Kerr quote here, by the way. Way too much dribbling and not moving the ball onto the next guy to make a play. I thought we took some gambles we didn't need to take.
What is he talking about, offensively or defensively? Because I agree with both.
Do you think they were over dribbling today? I thought it was too much like trying to get into their pet off-ball sets where it's like, you know, pass to the big and cut away from the ball. And just I thought they could have dribbled a little more, to be honest.
I agree with that. I think they took gambles. I mean, if you're talking about Andre and Draymond throwing the ball all over the place, trying to squeeze it between three people gambles, yeah, they did too much of that. You know, like, they just start the game, you're like, oh, God, it's one of those games where the Warriors are just throwing the ball around because they're trying to run that offense. I'm with you. You know what was effective at the end of the game? Steph Curry just saying, I'm just going to dribble. They ran the Luka Harden offense. They're just like, yeah, we're just going to switch and have Steph drive by Jokic every single time. Turns out that works. You could do that on Cousins every single time.
Yeah, they really didn't attack Cousins, which was kind of frustrating too. But anyway.
Not shocking, though. Not shocking.
Let's move forward. Zach.
Oh, boy. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Hell yeah.
Appreciate it.
Glad to be on. I'm on the treadmill because I'm too frustrated by that game. I feel like the frustration I have after not sweeping is the same as a 53 win being frustrated at the end of the season this year. Because, like, we're in a good place, but, I mean, I'm, like, very mad about how it all went down. But whatever. I mean, Otto Porter, the fact that he just all of a sudden can't make a shot, he's like, the player formerly known as a shooter kind of deal. I don't know what's going on, but I really would have loved to see Kuminga in the second half. And I'm sorry I'm out of breath, obviously, on the treadmill.
What a legend.
Hey, man,
what a
legend. Get your workout in. I can appreciate it. Isn't that kind of what we're getting at? Like, I in the scheme of things, they're up 3-1. I'm not like mad. I just feel like we're seeing signs of things that are potentially gonna show deeper in the playoffs.
Yes, I agree. That's the big one. It's, hey, the Warriors are gonna win the series, and they've got some a lot of good things going for them. But the other thing though, I will push back on is you look at the playoffs, Sam, and let's look at the two teams that the Warriors might play next round. Memphis looks. They should be down 3-1.
Jaws going through it right now. He looks.
Is he scared? Is he hurt?
They should be. If Jaw plays like he did in the regular season, they're up comfortably 3-1. I think that last game was 100% on him. But yeah, I mean, your point stands. They don't look like world beaters. They look
right.
Neither does Minnesota. I mean,
Minnesota, right?
Yeah. Minnesota's got a lot of talent, but like giving away 25-point leads, I mean, they're not exactly world beaters either. On the other side of the bracket, Phoenix is dealing with the Booker situation. I feel bad for them. I wanted them to be at full strength because I don't like hearing the excuses. And then, you know, Dallas lost Luka's first game. So everyone's
it's a 2-2 series. Yeah, everyone's so that's I think that's the thing where it's like, you know, the best team in the playoffs.
Everyone except Boston, currently raising Valerio.
It's like,
and I can't blame them. I would be, if I was a Boston fan and I was having that series, I would be insufferable right now. Like, I get it. But everyone's going through something right now. Like, I think Draymond said it pregame. A lot of parity in the league. There's not really a juggernaut. Even Boston, for as great as they are, I have questions about that offense.
Exactly.
I know they can guard at everyone, but they're not exactly blowing anyone out either.
It's a lot of ISOs, and unless you're LeBron and Kyrie at the prime, like those aren't. And even then, right? Those aren't too sustainable. So you know that's just how basketball is now. That's what these playoffs have. Haven't these playoffs been amazing? Like every series, I feel like is awesome. Tonight we're gonna watch Hawks. It's a great series, and then we're gonna see Pelicans Suns. It's a good series. Like every series is amazing. Like the Warriors, you know, they're not 73 win juggernaut. So you know, but they're in a good place. Like I would say they're the second or third best team right now in the postseason. You got Boston and then Milwaukee and Golden State. I think are like the second or third best team. It's just you know, it's how it is.
I was looking at the Vegas lines via MGM. The Warriors are the favorites to win it all, +280. Celtics right behind them. Phoenix right at +380, Phoenix +400, Milwaukee +750.
There you go.
Yeah. And those are the four teams I'd say. I might put it in a different order, but yeah, those are kind of the four favorites. Miami right behind them.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a long road. Milwaukee, that Middleton injury, there's a lot of time for things to change for a lot of teams.
I'm telling you though, Boston's probably hit a buzzsaw. You know how much I love Giannis. Oh, man. That guy, I don't care who he has around him. That guy is a fucking monster.
Yes. Do you see what he did today?
Oh, yeah. Just might be my favorite player in the league. Besides Steph, of course. Right, Steph?
Yeah. Yeah, let's be careful. William, what's up, man?
Yo, how's it going, guys?
What's up, brother?
You know, hanging in there. Nice Sunday afternoon.
So, in general, I like to criticize my favorite players when they're not holding it together, but I like to give some of my flowers, especially to Klay and Wiggs, because I criticize them a lot in terms of their process. But Klay definitely shot the ball well, definitely let the ball come to him up and down. Well, that's good for him. Wiggs, I did not expect him to do a lot of the dirty work. He was the adult of the room, which is weird to say. Don't know how long it's going to hold up, but hey, sweeping would have done a lot for his leg. So, but hey, it is what it is because Kerr wanted to have Otto pass it to Wiggs when he doesn't have Austin Rivers sealed in to begin with. So it is what it is. So. But hey, I just wanted to give some of my flowers to the players that have been stepping up in the playoffs. So. I just want to say good for Wiggs and Klay for stepping up. And we'll be fine, but ultimately, just cut the bullshit and stop getting cute. Let's get it.
William, appreciate the call. Wiggs, another 6 rebounds tonight. He's averaging over 7 a game in the series. I just want to see him hold that up. That's the number I'm looking at the most. If Wiggs is going to actually rebound and do the dirty work, no complaints.
Yeah, Wiggs was great. Wiggs was great today. No messing around. You think? I think what he's trying to say is that you think Steph starts on Wednesday?
I think Steph finally gets the start on Wednesday. Bringing him out of the bullpen.
I was shocked that he didn't start today, honestly. So I guess they'll just go with the small lineup on Wednesday night and try to.
I think they're going to move Poole to the bench.
You think? Oh, God.
I think Kurz. I can't see Steve not God. Starting not starting Looney unless they're down this series. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying I've seen this.
Yeah. Well, you just ruined my freaking Sunday. Let's keep it moving.
Red Rio.
Red Rio looks like he's on Ocean Beach there in the Zavy.
Oh, my bad. My dog pissed in the house. I have to put the little bastard up. I should name my dog Steve Kerr. it's days like this where I wish Michael Jordan on the team, though, because I'm confident that he'll walk in that locker room and punch Steve in his mouth, man. Can Looney get some minutes at the 5-4 round one, like when we beat the Bucks ass? Can we please do that? Can Curry get the ball when he's hot instead of running patty cake plays for Wiggins at the end of the game? Can we do – I just want to hear y'all talk about Kumbaya Kerr. I got to go.
Looks like he got kids and dogs in the background. What a legend. I don't know. Did you think was Kerr was that bad? You know, I thought he did some
that play at the end of the things. That play at the All end right. of the game, I was just like, oh, wow. That's such a – that's like – everything that annoys me, but like, no, I thought it wasn't too bad. I actually loved the zone defense and what they were doing down the stretch. That was annoying. That's why the last play was so annoying to me. They did some really interesting things down the stretch with that zone and the box and one and kind of having Wiggins at the top of the zone there for a while.
They had Wiggins kind of go on Jokic to start, right, and then have a separate guy late double on his dribbling hand side, which I thought was interesting. I was like, those something he kind of waited until the end to do that. It did work.
It did work. Like
the Warriors, they're down 7-9 with 5 minutes left, and they had to lead with a minute to go on that Steph too. So I thought Steve did some really cool stuff, especially that. And I thought his substitutions were fine, right? Like he brought some guys in, he benched some dudes, like we've talked about. It's just
dealing with foul trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. Foul trouble. That's hard. But it's like at the end of the day, when you make a play call like that, I mean, you just get ripped. You're going to get ripped when you get a play call like that. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. It's just like, dude.
Only reason I'm not ripping harder is they're up 3-0, you know? Like, it's when he does that stuff in a 2-2 series, I'm like, not now, you know? Like, that sort of stuff.
I mean, like, he used to do that, right? I mean, we had Urkel on our show the other day, and he was talking about how the Warriors kind of went to 6 against the Clippers in 2019, and it was that type of stuff. It was that type of Steve Kerr where it's just like, you know, we're okay dragging it on. Let's be patient. Boom, all of a sudden you're 6 games in the first-round series. It's like, the Warriors should close this out on Wednesday, right? There should be no messing around because you drag this to a game 6, then we're having a different discussion. Lucas.
Brazil, guys. You guys are awesome. Thanks for the content. Pleasure to be here. And shout out to Clay. I think he's getting better and better every game. And I think Poole was getting too much carried away with his own hype. So I think that's a really learning step for him to learn and mature. And what I want to talk about, I talked about in my the first time I called, this team doesn't seem to adjust when it's making so many mistakes in a row. It felt like one of those classic Warriors losses where we play so poorly, but we still got back in the game. We make a run, but right away we make 2-3 mistakes, just like we can guard the 3-point line. And I get really frustrated why we don't adjust. We have such smart players like Curry and Draymond, but we don't adjust. We keep making dumb decisions. So what I wanted to talk about is that a team execution problem, or is down to Kerr not making the right decisions and the right adjustments? Thanks for the content, guys.
Lucas, appreciate the call from Brazil, light years worldwide.
Unbelievable call.
Unstoppable. He's right. They do make a lot of, like, this was the quintessential
dumb mistakes, the turnovers and the poor rotations. And his question is that on the players or is that on the coaching staff?
Players. I think that's players. We've watched, I mean, you and I, everyone in here, all the listeners have watched this iteration of the Warriors team for a long time. That's how they play. They're a high variance. When they're going well, they'll win this game by 30. That's what makes the Warriors the most fascinating, fun team to watch, right? For the last like six, 7 years, is that they play this style. That's just, they're not boring, right? You look at how, I mean, even Milwaukee, the one that, or Phoenix, right? Two teams that were in the finals last year, they're not playing a style that people love to watch. I mean, we you know, your guy, Corporal Paul, it's named by you. He plays a style that, frankly, nobody wants to watch outside of like the hardcore fans. The Warriors, they play the style where they're just kind of doing crazy shit, like making crazy passes and taking crazy shots. And Jordan Poole is part of that now, which makes his team so fun. And I think sometimes one out of every four games, you get this type of style.
Just, the Warriors are like a EDM concert that you go to. They're like Coachella here. It's either the best or the worst night of your life. There's no in between with them.
Depending on what pill you take.
The variance is high with them. No, but it's true, because it's like when they're rolling, like the first couple games, you're like, this is nirvana. No one can achieve better basketball than this. Jordan Poole is the greatest player of all time. We have Steph Curry coming off the bench. That's how great we are. You know, it's like that sort of thing. And then you see a game like this, it's like, who are you passing that to, Draymond? Who are you passing? Like the turnover, it's – and that's the reality of it. When you try to pass the ball as much as they do, you're going to have some terrible turnover games. I thought they came out like the series was over, and that was the real problem.
Yep.
And then after that, you know, you can get into the micro decisions of the coaching staff, such as like
the last play call, which we just discussed. So it's a little bit of both, but like I tend to, at least tonight, I tend to go with you. A little more on the players for this one than the coaching staff.
At least for the first part of the game.
Yep.
Armand.
Hello?
Hey, Armand, what's up, man?
It took me a second to figure out the fucking mute button. All right. So in the first couple of years of Steve Kerr's run, I feel like the after timeouts were unbelievable. I feel like we like never lost his play calls. They scored like almost every time. The last year with KD was getting bad, and the last 2 years has been terrible. But I feel like because we're the Warriors, it's like, I don't know. Like this is the team I've always rooted for. I don't pay attention to any other team as closely as I pay attention to the Warriors. So my question is, like, when they did that play call, I could see Jokic screaming from the sideline that the lob's coming. He sniffed the play out, was calling it. Everyone knows what's going on. The Warriors can see Jokic calling it out and the whole Nuggets team reacting to it, yet they still tried to do it. But like in the NFL, you know, you'll have like an audible, like they'll be like, oh, well, that's done with, do something else, right? In the NBA, is it just like not common for them to change the play if the other team is like screaming that they know the play?
First off, I would say I was surprised they had Otto be the trigger man. That's a fair point. In general, that's why teams try to get the ball just in their best player's hands at the end of the game and clear out. Like, you're going to live and die with, you know, if your best player's like LeBron, you're going to live and die with that, right? The Warriors, I mean, Steve loves to have these ultra creative plays. And when they work, it looks amazing. When they don't, it's like you got too cute. Kind of like our guy, Kyle Shanahan, a little bit. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
It's true, though. But what I was going to say is it's hard for me to imagine Draymond would have done that and not just immediately called another timeout to reset, because that's probably the Warriors had a timeout in hand, if I remember correctly. If they sniff it out and you don't have a secondary option, because here's the thing to his question, there's obviously secondary options and third options you could pass to if the lob's not there, but they have to be open. So you'll often see the trigger guy call a timeout if everything is sniffed out and no one's open. Otto's a solid passer, but he's not Draymond Green. You know, I think he just panicked. I think he just thought he didn't know what to do in that moment, because he's not the guy who does those inbound passes in that moment.
Right.
So I don't know. I would have liked to, you know, it would have been nice if Steve called the timeout, because head coaches can also call timeouts in those moments when they see something's being sniffed out. That's like the one chance you have to kind of immediately do it. And I mean, essentially it's like a football play call, right? Like you're lining up to inbound the ball, right? Yeah. It's like the one time where it's like everything else is in flow. It's the one time you have the ability to quote unquote control it.
Yeah. I mean, Doc Rivers he called a timeout in the game three when Joel Embiid had the ball with a second left and he called a timeout running. I think it was pretty much illegal because he ran across the court and called a timeout. Pretty much saved the game.
they never called that one, but yeah.
I know. But it's like and Steve Kerr's a better coach than Doc. Like this is in no way saying that Doc is not a great coach. But like that's a situation where it's like, hey, he knows what's going on. When have we ever seen Steve do that? But I think that the solution, the Jokic question too is like, I don't know if the players even knew that Jokic was yelling that, right? Like who even like Jokic was on the bench. It's not like he was on the court. Because you remember Jokic got pulled for defensive purposes. So at the end of the day, it's like, yeah. We've seen Steph get pulled. You know, end of the day, it's just put the ball in Steph's hand in the backcourt and just have him dribble up and just pull up three in the game. You know, I could have called that. It's pretty simple. Any coach could have called that. So, you know. You live and you learn. It looks like Steve did say in the post game, Sam, that he if he had to have that back, that he wouldn't do that. So, you know,
classic Kerr. I learned a valuable lesson. Stop, Steve. You've been how many years have you been coaching this team? Get the ball to one of your best players. Like, stop trying to get the fifth option, catching everyone off guard and back cut. I thought they were gonna go to Clay, not because Clay is a better scoring option than Steph, but Clay has the ability to rise up and get a clean look better than Steph and Poole. And there's a reason those shots always go to wings. Like, because wings can get it off cleaner, right? Yeah. So
that's just what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were going to run some sort of, like, Steph, Clay, just like
pick and
split
pop
action.
Kinda, yeah.
Or split action. Jesus, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, anyway. Sure, we'll move forward. We got Karima.
Hey, guys.
Give some positivity.
Listen, I'm going to beat this last play call into the dirt right quick so we don't ever have to talk about it again. But first off, Otto Porter, you're a vet. If you don't see it there, I'm sorry, homie, then don't throw it. But also, I'm not going to bash Steve for this particular one because, hello, isn't Andrew Wiggins like 6'7" and Austin is 6'4"? So what are we doing here? That's a perfect play of a lob. But it's execution right there. Otto, you didn't even throw a good lob pass. Like, let's start there. And then if you don't see it, if you're going to bug out, just pass it to Stefan and be like, I'm sorry, because I ain't know. This ain't me right here. Okay? So I'm not going to, you know, piss all over Kerr for this particular one because the entire game, we just were not playing our best. So. Okay. We did it to ourselves. That's all it is. We go back home and we better shut it down because we are not coming back to Denver.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Karima.
She brought up the accent. I heard what is it, New York? I don't know where. Accent. You never hear that from Karima. It's like a teacher that gets mad at the kids once, you know, every few months. That's what it felt like.
The disappointment. Nothing's worse than the disappointment voice.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
The Warriors gotta get together.
I think that's a perfect call to end it on. We'll be back for game five and hopefully we'll call it a wrap on the series then.
Thanks, everyone.